your say. 1-300-872-911. Macca's Talking Cans. Thanks to Pacific Toyota. Better service, better range, better by far North Queensland. On 846 4CA.
You know, I listened to the police report this morning. I'm still in shock. It's just bizarre, the age of these children involved in hardcore criminal activity. This was out at Warree, a 12-year-old Manura boy, 12 years old, charged after being located by police at a Murray Street address. The boy had been alleged to have been part of a group involved in multiple incidents from Warree through to North Cairns. Right through the month of May, the incidents include break-in at a Digger Street unit, smashing the glass front and stealing from a Sheridan Street business. This is a 12-year-old kid smashing the glass front and stealing from a Sheridan Street business. That takes, generally speaking, a fair bit of force, but there you go. Stealing bank cards from an address in Anderson Street. Stealing from addresses on the 28th and 29th, charged with 4 counts enter premises, 2 counts stealing, 1 count each of fraud, receiving tainted property. 12 years of age. It's just bizarre what's happened here in our beautiful paradise. Now, this is Ken Harley on the line. Ken's on the line up at Mareeba. G'day, Kenny.
G'day, John. How are you doing, mate?
You've got well-advanced views on where we need to go with these young kids off the rails. What do you think about 12-year-olds getting involved in this hardcore bloody crime at 12 years of age?
Hey, mate, if people want to face reality, and there are a lot of people around who are in the know but won't speak or can't, not allowed to speak anymore, we're really in our... You've got to go back to 7 years old to find your starting point there. And you've also got to accept that we're in our second generation, and in some instances, and I don't want to coach some of the horrendous crimes that kids did back in the past, but we're in our third generation of these. This is how this all started. 30 years ago in Bourke, in Brewarrina, in places in western New South Wales where I travelled a lot, you weren't safe. The main streets were boarded up and like ghost towns in those places back in those days. The warning signs were there. And then I've spent time living in Cape York. I've been in Papua New Guinea. And if you really want a textbook case, go up there and have a look around. And I moved with a lot of people who live in the Gulf and the peninsula to this day. And Western Australia, I've travelled extensively in the north end of Western Australia, where you don't camp anymore in the caravan park in the town. And the same goes on. It's a bit of a secret, but the same goes on up on the tip of Australia right now when the tourist season starts. We've got to accept that this has been around for a long time. And those of us who crowed about it back in the day, we were all considered racists and extremists and all the rest of it. And 2 years ago, for me, when I started to say to you this was a crime emergency, I used to get walked down the street in Mareeba or Karanda and get yelled at as a racist and as an extremist. But this is the reality of it all, and the signs have been there. And we pay, through our taxes, enormous amounts of money for planners and strategists and demographers and all the rest of it. And we've got a justice system that keeps records. It's all there for everyone to see. It's plain to see this has been around for too long, and it's been a political football for too long, and no real action on the ground has come through. A lot of money's come through, but no real return on the ground. And so we've gotta try and do something real to head this off. And so that is why it's now 18 years ago. I kicked myself in my bum for not doing enough, but 18 years ago, I sat around a campfire at my place. There were ex-serving police officers. There were ex-serving prison officers. There were a lot of community workers, and there were a lot of people sitting around there that had long-term experience in particularly remote communities in Queensland. And we were sitting around, and that's where, first of all, we hatched our Lotus Glen proposal. Lotus Glen is a property of a little bit over 2 1,000 acres. It is an ex-cattle station. Its original name, it's escapes me now, it started with P, but it was a long-term cattle station west of Mareeba.
Mm.
And we have a mindset over there. These were the things that were discussed back then. There's a mindset with the community over there. They accept that the Lotus Glen prison is there now. They accepted that back then. It generated a bit in the economy. And back in then, with the cattle and the workshops, John, I wear clothes that were made at the Lotus Glen prison. Mm. I sit on furniture that was made there.
Mm.
So our farm equipment fixed there. So there was this mindset and this atmosphere that went on there. Unfortunately, with the reduction in funding by this current regime of government we've got here, reduction in funding and whatever has meant that the place became understaffed, like all prison facilities are in Queensland, and it became overcrowded. It didn't keep growing to match with the times, even though it grew. It didn't match the time. It didn't match the demand. So it doesn't produce like Cleveland Youth Detention Centre. It cannot produce good results.
Yeah.
It's just not possible not because it can do it, it's because it can't, because it's limited by not the right people and all the whole thing goes on.
Mm.
So we hatched this Lotus Glen proposal. It gets bounced around a bit, but we couldn't get anywhere with it because no politicians, no bureaucrats would listen because there was no apparent serious youth crime, except if you listen to you and you travelled in the streets of Cairns back in those days.
Mm.
There was no serious problem that they could become famous with. It wasn't the fashion. Now it's the fashion. Everybody's on the bandwagon. But unfortunately, when all sorts of budding politicians and things get involved in it with not the right, haven't got it in their heart to do the right thing, you can't get it. We've got to accept, it was discussed then, and we still talk about it, we've got to accept that there's basically three groups of these kids. Some are totally out of control, will probably never, ever, ever in their life now break out of that. And so they've got to be put to keep you and me safe and everybody else safe, and to keep them safe, they've got to be locked up. That's the cold, hard truth about it.
Yeah.
They've got to be locked up. Maybe you can do something with them, maybe you can't, but they've got to be locked up to keep us safe. That's absolute. Number two, there's another group that's certainly got to be locked up. They're in a lot of strife, but they can be turned around. They can be considered to reasonably turn them around. Then there's another group that just need, they're the ones that live in absolutely hopeless situations and they're usually pretty young. And with a bit of care, and teach them respect. You've got to give respect to get respect. So you teach them slowly and gently, and you can turn them around fairly easily. Really, all they want is a safe place to put down their digs and to get food in their belly.
Yes.
Really, that's the basis of what they need. In behind that, there's a need for medical specialties. There's a need for psychological specialties. In amongst these three factors, these three groups, psychological assistance, sometimes a lot of physical stuff, and then there's a need then to teach them the basics of eating, the basics of respect for their fellow man and how to work with each. We're all different, but we all got to get along. And so you've got to teach them that, and then you've got to give them some skills to get on with their life. And the Lotus Glen site can do all that. And the other thing that the Lotus Glen site can do, which has really got to come into the mix, if we can't get enough doctors and specialists and all our social service organisations are overtaxed, then we've got to put that facility where we've got to put it close to either where we can take these children or kids or even the adults to that specialty. So we pick them up and take them down the Cairns base or whatever, or those specialists can be whisked away quickly for a day to operate inside a facility. Then they've got to get back to their hospitals.
Yes.
So, you know, I'm a I'm a resident of, basically a resident of the Cairns base. I'm looked after by a whole heap of specialties, and I know how hard it is. I know how hard those people run. And the other thing is we would definitely need school teachers and school teacher type people, but we haven't got enough school teachers in our bloody schools now. So once again, we've got to be close to where we can attach ourselves to those facilities, and Lotus Glen can do that.
Yeah.
Lotus Glen, the kids can have dogs and cats and horses and cattle. The horses and the cattle are already out there. It's a big cattle operation.
Mm.
So they can be taught skills. Those that can be blended in the local community, their school buses go past that site every day.
Yeah.
I think there's three, actually. And so they can attend local schools, blend in, learn to rehabilitate, or for the first time, live together in society and not be on the fringes. They can be involved in sporting facilities, in sporting activities all across the tablelands. And then the next and ultimate step would be to get them into work. So you take them, you do contracting to the local councils and local organisations, lay concrete, prefab the picnic shelters at the Glen, and then take them out and erect them so that in 20 years they can walk past that thing and say, hey, I was tied up with building that thing there. They can have contracts to maintain recreation facilities in the parks and what have you around the tablelands and down on the Mariba Plains. It's an easy drive to Atherton. It's an easy drive right up as far as Mount Malloy. It's an easy drive to Kuranda. So all those things can be done on a daily basis. All the farm workers do it in buses. And then there's the agricultural industry from Tully North. It's bigger. But Bill Cummings tells us that the fruit industry is bigger than tourism from Tully North.
Mm.
So here's all these opportunities for them to blend and then finally to get a specialty and go out in the community and work. And as part of that, they still would, this desperate need for somewhere safe to put their digs, to put their clothes, to sleep, and to keep their textbooks and their laptops and everything so they're not stolen from them, and their bloody shoes, because they even knock them ass overhead, or they knock them over to get their shoes. So you know, we would have to, in the mix, we would have to provide a thing which would just like a boarding house and let that person look after themselves, but under a bit of guidance, under a bit of watch, under a bit of help. It's so simple, but to get people to listen is just, and try and avoid the whole thing becoming a political football, especially as we're coming into election in Queensland and then federally, it's just a little bit hard. But anyhow, John, we're giving it a red hot crack right now, and we're trying hard. There's obviously a change of government coming into Queensland, and maybe this mob will have a different heart.
Yes. You've got the most magnificent mind, Ken Harley. I mean, what we need now is someone to embrace all of these concepts of yours and make them a reality, and we can look to a hopeful future again. Thanks for your contributions, Ken. They're just absolutely remarkable. Ken Harley on the line up there at Mariba.